Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Previously on The Empire versus Paul, the tribunal heard from Claudia Marcella, a Roman freedwoman who witnessed the stoning of Stephen and remembered the young Saul standing nearby as Stephen prayed for the very people killing him. Paul freely admitted that he had approved Stephen's death, and more troubling still, that at the time he had been certain he was serving God. Claudia refused to let either Stephen's courage or Paul's sincerity serve as proof that their beliefs were true, giving Vero his sharpest challenge yet. If Saul had once been so certain and so wrong, why should Rome trust Paul's certainty now? Paul conceded that his certainty should persuade no one, insisting instead that the court must examine the evidence that transformed the man who watched Stephen die into the man who would eventually proclaim the faith he once tried to destroy.
Acts of the Apostles, Part 7, Chapter 5. The Empire versus Paul, the last defense of an apostle.
Paul admitted yesterday what the prosecution had intended to prove, that he was present at Stephen's death and approved of it. Vero turned that admission into a question the court has not yet answered. If Saul of Tarsus could once be utterly certain and utterly wrong, why should Rome trust the certainty of Paul? Damascus is coming. But today, the prosecution is not finished with the man who set out for it.
The court is now in session. Everyone come to order. Come to order. Prosecutor.
The prosecution calls Miriam of Jerusalem.
The woman who enters the chamber is perhaps in her 60s, with white hair and the posture of someone who stands straight, not from pride, but from long practice. She walks without hurrying. She takes her position and looks at the magistrate, not at Paul.
Your name and place of birth?
Miriam, daughter of Eleazar. I was born in Jerusalem. I have lived in Rome for 12 years.
You were a member of the community of Jesus' followers in Jerusalem.
Yes, from very early. Before we had a proper name for ourselves, when we were called the people of the Way.
And during the persecution that followed Stephen's death, you were arrested.
I was.
Tell the court what happened.
We were gathered in a house for prayer and the breaking of bread. There were men and women there. It was early morning. We heard voices outside, then the door was kicked open, and men burst in, with authority to arrest us.
Was the prisoner among them?
Yes, he was.
What was his role?
He was leading the effort.
Did he know whom he was looking for?
Yes, this was not a random search.
Were you taken?
Yes, I was.
So women arrested as well as men?
Yes, and I was not the only one.
Did that surprise you?
It did. We knew the men were at risk. Some of us assumed the authorities would consider the women beneath notice.
You were mistaken.
Saul considered us worth arresting.
Where were you taken?
To prison. I was questioned and held for a time before being released.
Were you tortured?
No. I will not accuse anyone of what did not happen.
But you were removed from that house against your will?
Yes.
Imprisoned because you were a follower of Jesus?
Yes, I was.
At Saul's direction?
Under authority from the religious leadership, which Saul was helping to carry out.
Was yours an isolated arrest?
Not in the slightest.
What happened to the community?
People became afraid to gather openly. Many left Jerusalem. Some went into Judea and Samaria. Others eventually went farther.
The movement spread?
Yes.
Despite the persecution?
In part, perhaps, because of it.
So Saul failed?
If his purpose was to destroy us, yes.
Was it?
I cannot tell you what was in his heart.
Then tell us what you observed.
He was very good at what he did.
Meaning?
Organized. Systematic. Thorough. He was not a man swept along by a crowd. He knew what he was doing.
The court has heard those qualities before.
I imagine so.
From his childhood in Tarsus. From his education in Jerusalem. Saul examined things carefully. Reached conclusions. Acted upon them.
That sounds like the man I remember.
And when he concluded that your community was dangerous, people went to prison.
Yes.
Thank you.
The prisoner may examine the witness.
Thank you, Magistrate. Shalom, Miriam.
Shalom, Paul.
You called me Saul a moment ago.
That was the man who came through my door 30 years ago.
Yes. You said you had not expected women to be arrested.
That is what I said.
Yet women were part of the community from the beginning.
Yes.
Why?
Because Jesus welcomed women among those who followed him. He taught them. Women supported his ministry. Women were among those who first carried the news that his tomb was empty. We did not understand ourselves as spectators.
At the time, I considered some of that evidence of the movement's disorder.
I know.
I no longer do.
I know that too.
You said people scattered after the persecution.
Yes.
Did they stop gathering?
No.
Stop speaking about Jesus?
No.
What did they do?
They gathered wherever they went. They told others what they believed. New communities formed.
In some area?
Yes.
Elsewhere?
Eventually, yes.
Communities that I would later visit and serve?
Some of them.
So the persecution I led helped create the conditions by which the message spread.
Magistrate, I must object. Your persecution scattered them. What they did afterward was their doing, not yours.
I did not say I deserved credit.
You came remarkably close.
Then let me be clear. I deserve none.
Good. Because a man who burns a house does not become its architect because the survivors build somewhere else.
No, I suppose not.
I'm glad we understand one another.
But if the fire intended to destroy them instead carried them farther, that remains true, whether the man who lit it deserves credit or judgment.
Judgment, I should think.
So did I. Miriam, when we entered that house, what were you doing?
Praying.
For whom?
For one another. For those who had already been arrested. For those who were afraid. For Jerusalem.
Did you pray for those who persecuted you?
We tried to.
Tried.
Loving your enemies is easier to repeat when they are not coming through your door.
But you believed you were supposed to.
Yes.
Why?
Because Jesus taught us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecuted us.
Stephen did that.
Yes.
While he was dying.
Yes.
So it is possible that while I was persecuting your community, people within it were praying for me.
Possible. Certainly.
Do you believe those prayers had anything to do with what happened to me?
I don't know what happened to you.
Oh.
Not yet. Neither does this court.
Fair enough.
I know what you did to us. I know what you became afterward. What stands between those two things is what you have yet to explain.
Yes. You said I was organized, systematic, thorough.
You were.
I apply those same qualities now to building the community I once tried to destroy. Does that seem inconsistent to you?
No.
Why?
Because Saul did not become less relentless.
What happened?
He changed direction.
Thank you, Miriam.
The witness may step down.
Magistrate, one matter before the witness is dismissed.
Briefly.
Miriam, you said Saul changed direction.
Yes.
Does changing direction prove that the new direction is correct?
No.
Does the fact that Paul now suffers for beliefs he once persecuted prove those beliefs are true?
No.
Does the growth of his movement prove it?
No.
Then what does your testimony establish?
That something changed him.
Precisely. And the prosecution does not dispute that. We dispute his explanation.
Then perhaps it is time you heard it.
At last.
Now the witness is dismissed.
5 days of testimony have brought the court to the edge of a road. It began in Tarsus, where Saul learned to inhabit several worlds without surrendering the faith of his fathers. It continued in Jerusalem, where Gamaliel sharpened an already formidable mind and taught him to examine arguments carefully and follow their consequences. Then the court saw what happened when Saul became convinced that the followers of Jesus threatened everything he believed. He stood approving while Stephen died. He entered homes. He arrested men and women. He helped drive believers from Jerusalem. Varro has built his case carefully. Paul was educated enough to understand consequences, intelligent enough to examine evidence, devout enough to believe he served God, and certain enough to act without hesitation. And the same man now stands before Rome asking the court to accept another conclusion about God, another kingdom, another Lord. Paul has offered no excuse for the contradiction. He has made it the center of his defense. The man who once believed Jesus was a dangerous fraud became the man who carried his name across the empire and endured imprisonment, beatings, rejection, and suffering rather than deny him. Something stands between those two men. For 5 days, Paul has insisted that the court cannot understand the missionary until it understands the persecutor. Now it does. Next week, Rome finally hears what happened on the road to Damascus. To be continued.